happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
Still making notes. I'm Ann Northrup.
And in the news this week, we say bye-bye by Senator Kyrsten Sinema.
You can't even get it out. You wrote it. You can't get it out. Super Tuesday results of LGBTQ interest. Not a lot, but some. A little bit.
Out U.S. Senator Butler, a Democrat of California, read a banned book on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
And nobody freaked out or changed their sexual orientation. More anti-LGBTQ bills advanced in Georgia and Florida.
And elsewhere. Police now concede that Nex Benedict's death could be related to the beating that Nex took.
Yeah, it's stunning the way they change their tune. But there's more going on there. We'll talk about what's happening in Oklahoma. There's a campaign for a U.S. postage stamp for Matthew Shepard.
Beloved lesbian DJ Stacey Ledwith has died in a New York scooter accident.
Terrible, terrible, terrible story. And I don't know how to characterize this, but male humpback whales have been photographed in flagrante delicto.
We are everywhere.
Well, we knew that. You know, it's just
of
that
course.
They captured them on film or video.
Ghana's parliament unanimously passes a bill criminalizing being gay and supporting LGBTQ rights.
The Pope, you remember him, is now inveighing against gender ideology.
We had the first lesbian wedding in UK royal family history.
And a lesbian couple, as opposed to all the other couples, has gotten a new HGTV series, Small Town Potential.
So, however naively, we were pretty excited when an out bisexual progressive was elected to the Congress from Arizona back in 2012, Kyrsten Sinema.
And she looked pretty provocative and interesting. That's quite an outfit. That was her close to her election.
Yeah, she won Republican Jeff Flake's U.S. Senate seat in 2018, but she abandoned her principles and her party and left to become an independent. And now she's cashing out, not running for reelection. Nice words were said about her by the two people running to replace her, Democratic Congressmember Ruben Gallego. We have a picture of him there. He's the Democrat. And Republican Carrie Lake, who still thought, I think up until yesterday, that she was the governor. No, I mean, she has changed slightly her position that she's running for Senate.
Well, she's an election denialist, so she was still operating on the fiction that she had been elected governor.
She's a nasty piece of work who abandoned her gay friends, who abandoned her drag queen friends and ran.
Oh, that's Carrie Lake.
Carrie Lake.
Kyrsten Sinema has a mixed record. She was not 100% bad. She did some good things. And, of course, she went out saying, I can't operate here anymore because I believe in conversation and compromise and whatever. And the death knell for her was that she'd been a big part of putting together this border bill that everyone said, oh, this is the great compromise. Of course, it's a very right-wing compromise. I shed no tears over it's not passing. But for her, to have it not pass meant that she couldn't operate, and she was going to go on to greener pastures.
Kyrsten Sinema came to be pretty hated for thwarting numerous progressive reforms with her buddy, Democrat Joe Manchin, who was also retiring. Sinema blocked raising taxes on the wealthy, pared back lowering prescription drug prices, would not consider ending the filibuster, even to just advance voting rights.
Right.
Now, Carrie Lake is being sued for defamation still by the Maricopa county recorder, who she falsely accused of being a criminal. This is a Republican. The case has been greenlit for trial, and he's been getting loads of death threats because of her nonsense.
Well, I think Gallego and Lake praise cinema because they're not taking any chances of losing any of her voters in this. They want to just scoop up what they can. And it's expected to be a tight race, but I cannot imagine Gallego losing.
Early polls have him, you know, 4 to 5 points up. But again, it's a long year, isn't it, folks?
Well, we're down to 8 months before the election.
I know. This is insane. I mean, I almost feel like, can we just sort of ignore the races? You know?
No, we're in the home stretch.
Home stretch. It's nuts. I like the countries where they don't allow any campaigning except for like eight weeks beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
All right. So let's talk about Super Tuesday.
North Carolina.
Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson there with his friend, Donald Trump. This is the guy he's the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. He's now the candidate for governor. He says gay people are filth and maggots. He also is very fond of quoting Hitler. He says we should quote Hitler. You know, why shouldn't we?
We've heard a lot about him on this show over the years because he is such a monster. And I would like to think that he is such a monster that they will not go for him as governor. But they did elect him lieutenant governor, and he has some strong support in North Carolina.
Well, he would be the first black governor. He's running against the guy who would be the first Jewish governor, Josh Stein, the attorney general of North Carolina.
Interesting, the Holocaust denier against the Jewish candidate.
Robinson said that the Black Panther movie was created by an agnostic Jew and a satanic Marxist. So this is the way he talks all the
time.
Movie
or movement?
The movie.
Oh, okay.
The Black Panther.
Yeah. Oh, Wakanda Forever.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, and he wants trans people thrown in the garbage or something.
Yeah.
It's just endless.
And arrested if they go into the restrooms he doesn't like. But in California,
And we have to keep our eye on North Carolina because it's a very important state for Biden to win, to be able to win the presidency. And so the hope is that, again, the Republicans are shooting themselves in the foot by nominating people like Carrie Lake and Mark Robinson, who have a lot of people who hate them, and that will help Biden.
And Donald Trump, a lot of people hate him as well.
Exactly.
Well, in California, the results are going to be coming in for weeks, but we already know that the out gay candidate Will Rollins is making a second try for a U.S. House seat from Palm Springs and Environs, which is more conservative. He got 41% of the open primaries once again, be running against the incumbent, Ken Calvert, who has a bad record on LGBTQ rights.
I'm more concerned about the three House seats that have been opened up by this sad primary between Adam Schiff, Barbara Lee, and Katie Porter for the open Senate seat, the Feinstein seat, and now all those House seats are open, and I haven't heard the results yet of primaries for those seats. Some of them are, you know, Katie Porter flipped a Republican seat, and it would be sad to go back to losing that and might threaten the Democrats' chances of getting back the House.
Although Schiff is considered a shoe-in for the Senate seat now.
Well, fine. Great. And we've had a Democrat in that seat. I don't want to lose our chance at recapturing the House by having given up too many Democratic seats.
Well, we have a good chance of electing the first out LGBTQ U.S. House member from the South. Julie Johnson won the Democratic primary for U.S. representative from the 32nd district there. It's the suburbs of Dallas.
Texas, first out.
She would be replacing Colin Allred, who is running for the U.S. Senate against Ted Cruz and is basically tied in the polls with him at this point.
Well, Ted Cruz, another one who has become an object of hatred by a lot of people ever since he went off to a Mexican vacation while the state was freezing power failures.
I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
I agree with that. Not trying to live in fantasy land.
And
but
Donald Trump
just
seemed to do very well on Super Tuesday.
But if you thought the LGBTQ community was united against Trump or these Republicans, think again, and here's the evidence. the wedding of two men at Mar-a-Lago.
That's John Sullivan and Dan Medora. There's no evidence that Trump popped into them, but apparently it's not even the first gay wedding at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, at this point, he's got to take all the money and any bookings he can get. I don't know if this alienates any of his voters. Nothing seems to alienate them. I mean, and of course, you know, we also need to talk about what the Supreme Court did this week, because it's immensely depressing the way they ruled in this Colorado case, where they basically, you know, not content to nullify the Voting Rights Act, which was passed by Congress. Now they've nullified the 14th Amendment. They basically said, oh, no, it doesn't mean what it says. And these, of course, are the originalists. No, it doesn't mean what it says. Oh, no, if you want to do it. I mean, they're so in the tank.
Well, they also said one of their big rationales for keeping Trump on the ballot, for not letting states individually take him off the ballot, was it would be chaos if states could individually decide on who's on the ballot. Well, I'm sorry, isn't the lack of a national abortion rights law chaos also?
Correct.
And why shouldn't states get to decide who's on their ballots?
And the abortion thing, of course, is chaos, because not only are states banning it, but they're trying to penalize people who leave their states to get abortions.
And they want all the records.
Yeah.
Greg Abbott wants the records of everyone who's had an abortion to find out where they did it and when and whatever.
Well, the White House this week convened, on the plus side, convened advocacy groups to protect access to fertility services, and included both Family Equality and the National Center for Lesbian Rights, highlighting that this is a disproportionate issue for LGBTQ families. These meetings will not be taking place in the White House if Trump gets back.
I don't know. We don't know who his vice president is going to be. It might be someone who will undermine him. I laugh.
Mistakes are made. You know, McKinley, took Teddy Roosevelt. Look what happened.
All sorts of mistakes. Spiro Agnew. But I am appreciative of the fact that this IVF decision and the confusion around it has immediately included implications for same-sex couples or single LGBTQ people trying to have children. I think that's a great advance that we are now included in the conversation.
Well, that's why Trump won on Super Tuesday, because he came out for IVF.
I don't think they understand it or how to fix
Nikki
it.
Nikki Haley, now gone, and you know, not abandoning Trump. I mean, they said she didn't endorse him, but she didn't say anything bad about him.
Well, she said a lot of bad about him recently, but you've always said she's going to go back to the fold. She's going to endorse him. I would like to think not, but I have to concede that that's a high possibility because she keeps condemning Biden. He's far worse. He's the worst thing. He's ruining the country.
Right.
Nonsense. And so, frankly, at this point, I don't want Nikki Haley.
Well, let's go to the U.S. Senate, where the out senator from California, Democrat LaFonza Butler, spoke out on the floor about how Congress should implement ways to stop the push of book bans and let U.S. citizens read what they wish. We're going to link to her 11-minute speech, but let's listen to what she said on the floor of the Senate.
We contend that the massed effort to shield young learners is an utter slap in the face to communities who've too long had to fight to have their very stories told. Our nation's most ethnically and racially diverse generation have seen themselves reflected in these pages, and for these extremist adults to deem these stories inappropriate is a direct attack on their experience and their very existence. Over the past 2 years, these blanket attacks on our books have become more organized and well-funded. In 2022, more than 2,500 books were targeted. According to the American Library Association, the majority of those books were about Black or LGBTQ plus people. As only the 12th Black senator to serve in this chamber and the first openly LGBTQ black senator to serve. I will not stand by silently as our stories get erased. That's why I'll be joining the Freedom Readers and their efforts to ensure the freedom to learn by regularly taking to the Senate floor and invite my colleagues to join me to read excerpts of books that tell the story of our nation, its legacy, and the people who contribute to America's character of imperfection, of resilience, and of progress.
Things up fashion-wise at the Senate, too, with a leather jacket. I'm not a joke. I think that's, you know,
well,
that's great.
It's not Kyrsten Sinema.
No.
But she went on to read from Audre Lorde. And it,
Sister Outsider, which is an often banned book.
Yeah. So it would be nice if her fellow senators would join her in doing little reading moments throughout the week.
Yeah. But Audre Lorde gets banned. She was the Poet Laureate of New York under Mario Cuomo 100 years ago, back in the 20th century.
Yeah. And meanwhile, speaking of books and reading, RuPaul is in a sort of nonsense moment. He has a new book out, and he's promoting it, and he hooked up with this rainbow book bus that travels around the country handing out banned books.
10,000 of them.
Yeah. He didn't create it, but he's...
It was created by gay historian Eric Savini and his boyfriend, actor Adam Powell. But Moms for Liberty was challenged on 60 Minutes, for their book banning, especially for sliming us with the slur groomers. The piece was also about how in Beaufort, South Carolina.
Beaufort,
sorry. Thank you very much.
I watched the piece.
I did, too.
But still you didn't hear.
Oh, well, you know, whatever. It returned 97. They wanted to ban 97 books, you know, the right wing. So they said, we're going to get everybody together. We're going to have book readers in groups. And you read all the books, the 97 books. And they decided all but four of these are fine for the schools. And that was a very good outcome there.
It was a lovely little story. And the 60 Minutes correspondent tried to confront the Moms for Liberty people on, well, what is it you're really trying to accomplish here? And they just went into doublespeak and wouldn't answer the questions.
And in the story, they quoted from an often banned book, The Fixer by Bernard Malamud. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay. It's a novel of anti-Semitism that won the Pulitzer. A line from it says, there are no wrong books. What's wrong is the fear of them.
Yes.
And by the way, if it gets banned where you are, that's a book that's available online.
And lest you think this takes place only in conservative areas, in Brookfield, Connecticut, they had a book banning controversy. The board parents, right-wingers, came in and wanted to ban Fun Home from the library. This is the third attempt to remove a book from the library, but the... Go ahead.
One member of the board called it a celebration of criminal behavior. I mean, how can you read books without reading about, you know, all kinds of bad things that happen?
Exactly.
But, you know, the 60 people turned out, 60 others emailed, about 60% spoke in favor of keeping the book, and they did keep the book, 4-3.
Yeah, it was a close vote.
4-3.
Yeah.
But one of our viewers alerted us to this, and we appreciate that. The district's policy is, while parents can... limit their child's library selections, residents do not have the right to determine library materials for students other than their own. That's what we are looking for.
Well, this is the evolution of thinking on this. First, there's a panic, and all the books get removed, and everybody freaks out, and the right-wingers come in and scaremonger everything, and then people take a breath, and they say, oh, wait a minute, maybe that's not it, and maybe it is about you can try to control your own child's reading. I saw one piece of film of some young woman testifying, maybe it was in the 60 Minutes piece, saying, you can't keep your kids from reading. They have the internet, which you have also said frequently on this show. But there are several things going on in other...
Well, I should also mention that today, as we tape, is the 9th Welcoming Schools National Day of Reading. a celebration of stories supporting transgender and non-binary youth, sponsored by HRC, the National Education Association, and the American Association of Libraries.
But meanwhile, in Florida, the University of Florida has closed its Office of Chief Diversity Officer. And because in Florida, on their recent laws, it is illegal to spend money in state colleges on diversity and inclusion. So that whole department is out. They closed the sociology department. Texas A&M has been attacked for woke courses in the 4-H program. And an LGBTQ minor in studying at Texas A&M. So this, it continues. Wait, I've got more, if I can find it here. But a federal court in Florida maintained the block, the injunction that exists on the Stop Woke Act going into effect.
That is correct, because they said it's turning the First Amendment on its head to tell a business they can't talk about something.
Yes, because they say the Stop Woke Act treats that as action, but in fact it's free speech and should be protected. But in Maine, a federal judge has rejected a Christian school's request for an injunction against the state. The state won't fund schools that discriminate. They've been going in Maine because they have areas that are very lightly populated. They decided that they could give state funds to some private schools around the state that were the only educational options for a lot of kids in very rural areas. But they also wanted to protect people, so they passed a law at the same time that said schools cannot discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, race, religion, whatever. And so this Christian school was not allowed to get the federal funds because they don't want LGBTQ kids or teachers. And so the school was fighting this and saying, you know, you're going after our religious freedom. And the court said, forget it. This is state funding. You're not entitled. The law says you can't discriminate, and you're not getting it.
Well, this happened in Ireland where, you know, almost all the schools that kids went to were funded by the government, but they were Catholic schools.
Right.
And finally, they just said, look, you got to stop discriminating against gay teachers. And they said, we want the money. We'll do it. But in North Dakota, a judge ruled that a Christian business group does not have to include gender-affirming care in its employee health plan or provide such care to trans people due to their religious beliefs. It's the Christian Employers Alliance versus the EEOC and the Department of Health and Human Services, which interpret the Bostock decision, mm-hmm. to ban such discrimination.
Well, this is what's been going on for years, back and forth, is religion, free speech, non-discrimination. Right. There's no answer to any of it.
Well, there is some resistance, but we're not always winning. In Georgia, here's part of our theocracy watch. The Senate advanced a bill to exempt anyone from a law or social policy if they say it burdens their religious beliefs. That's a license to discriminate bill. We have pictures of people lobbying there in Georgia in the lobby. This bill was opposed by the Georgia Chamber of Congress, but that made no difference to the theocrats in charge.
Well, they also ordered the libraries to cut their ties with the American mm-hmm. Library Association mm-hmm. because the new president of the Library Association said, oh, isn't this interesting? They've elected a Marxist lesbian as the head of the American Library Association. And the right wing was listening and said, what? So
in Tennessee, they have 18 anti-LGBTQ bills being heard this week, including a separate marriage license for gay people.
Yeah, once again, we've discussed this on the way walking here. There's hundreds and hundreds of bills that have been introduced that are so heinous and unbelievable. And some of them pass, but not the majority. And so
in Tennessee, they do.
Well, not all of them. I think, I think we've defeated some stuff in Tennessee. And they're revising their HIV discrimination law. But do you add fuel to the fire by talking about every single one of them, or do you try to judge what's real and what's not? Because some of them are really crazy.
Well, like, you know, the one we discussed on the way up, which is that you a teacher who helps a child with their pronouns or any kind of affirming care gets put on the sex offense registry. That's the bill.
That's the bill proposed in Missouri now.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Missouri. Yeah. Well, let's go to Florida. Hundreds of LGBTQ Floridians and allies marched to protest a trans erasure bill. We have a picture there. Requiring health insurance companies to cover detransitioning services, including conversion therapy, to turn trans people cis, otherwise known as psychological torture. The bill also requires driver's licenses reflecting sex designated at birth. The House passed the bills, and one to repeal or ban local governments in the state from adopting non-discrimination policies or laws.
But the Senate president in Florida has said the Senate will not take up the bill that has been passed by the House.
That one about the non-discrimination?
Yes, the trans.
No, what about the one that says local governments can't pass these laws?
Now you've caught me. They will not take up the trans erasure bill.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But the other one, but the thing, the problem with saying you can't look, see, like 60% of the cities of the population of Florida is already covered under sexual orientation and gender identity, mm-hmm. even though they don't have a statewide bill. And the thing is, if the state passes this, says that you can't do that, you're still covered. I just want you to know this. You're still covered under the Bostock decision federally, which says you can't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity.
But there's another debate going on about Bostock. It's somewhere here in my notes. Meanwhile, in Texas, in Fort Worth, the Tinder Creek High School canceled a production of the Laramie Project. The principal said, well, students can discuss it in class, but we're not going to have that performed.
We'd like to see, like, our past productions, like Mary Poppins and White Christmas. That's what they said.
Thousands of people have signed a petition of complaint about this.
3,000.
Yes. And that was just, you know, days ago.
And, of course, Laramie Project was about the aftermath of the killing of Matthew Shepard in Laramie. And now they have a big campaign on to create a commemorative stamp for Matthew, led by San Diego City Commissioner Nicole Murray Ramirez, a veteran activist, with Dennis and Judy Shepard on board. Go to msstampcampaign.org if you're interested in that.
And further Texas education news, in Carrollton, Texas, at Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, I don't know how they pronounce it.
Hebron. I don't know.
Beaufort. In Carrollton, Texas, a teacher there, I'm not going to be able to read my own handwriting, Jody, was placed on leave for wearing a pink dress to Spirit Day, where everybody dresses up. Libs of TikTok posted the picture of Rachmad.
Libs of TikTok is this crazy right-wing Chaya Ray chick who assaults everybody who does anything gay.
And who is on the Board of Ed in Oklahoma, even though she doesn't live
library
there.
Library board.
Doesn't live there. So another petition there because everybody thinks he's a great teacher, and that has 10,000 signatures.
Well, also in Texas, a district court has blocked the wicked indicted Attorney General Ken Paxton from getting PFLAG's records on their support for their trans children. The judge called it clear and unmistakable overreach. Now, this judge's blocking of the state ban on gender-affirming care was overturned by the Texas totally Republican Supreme Court.
Now, I also have a note here that the state has canceled Medicaid coverage for adult trans people. They just are relentless.
Can that be legal? I assume we're suing.
We sue everybody for everything, and eventually we win 90% of those cases.
Some of them.
But it's just a way to tie us up for decades with these kinds of horrible things and make people's lives miserable and put people in agony having to go through this.
Well, Kentucky's proposed a new way to torture trans kids and their parents. It would allow the state to remove trans kids from their homes for using restrooms at school that align with their gender identities. It does not explicitly mention trans people, but it expands the definition of child abuse to cover a parent's failure to control their children and that failure leading to the child's violation of the school's code of acceptable behavior. So the kids are will kids be removed from their homes for bullying LGBTQ kids?
No.
I doubt it.
In New York State, a little good news, an appeals court says that a lower court should have sealed the records of a trans youth who was changing gender identity. The lower court had...
Changing their name.
Exactly. And the lower court had refused to seal that, but the appeals court, the appellate division said, no, you should have. And in Washington State, the House passed what is known as the Stripper's Bill of Rights, which included repeal of the lewd conduct law, which is what got cops bursting into gay bars to shut them down when the bartender was shirtless.
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 Or, you know, patrons were walking around in jockstraps or something.
Yeah.
So Governor Inslee goes to his desk now. He's a Democrat.
But it should be good.
The Speaker of the House, we should mention, is Lori Jenkins, a lesbian.
And also in New York State on Long Island, our hero Tish James, the Attorney General, is going after Bruce Blakeman, the Nassau County executive, who issued his own little personal order to keep trans athletes off of trans female athletes off of county property, 100 county parks and playing fields. And Tish says, that's completely illegal. We have a non-discrimination law in this state. You cannot discriminate against people on the basis of their gender identity.
And she
said
it forces girls, teams, to undergo intrusive, invasive questioning and other verification requirements.
Exactly. So she ordered Blakeman to rescind his order, but he's not backing down yet.
Yeah. In Eugene, Oregon, a candidate for mayor who was involved in a 1984 crime, part of a gang that attacked men that they presumed to be gay in San Francisco, including murdering gay activist John O'Connell. Well, three of them were convicted of second-degree murder. He was convicted of, he pleaded guilty to assault and was sentenced to 7 years in prison. And he subsequently got involved in community service and, you know, he described what I did was a hate crime. So where do you stand on gay rights now? He won't talk about it. So forget what we should say his name so you don't vote for him.
Neither will libs of TikTok. So
Douglas Barr was his name.
Let's go to Oklahoma and update on Next Benedict. Yes. By the way, you know, we sent out a note after last week's show. We really stumbled a lot on pronouns and correct identification of Next Benedict, and we are very sorry for that.
I did it in the email, too, just inadvertently. But, yes, Next Benedict, according to used he-him pronouns and they-them pronouns.
So we will try to be more respectful and smarter about this as we go forward. Anyway, so when we left off last week, Next had died after a confrontation in their high school and being sent home is okay from a hospital visit, but the next morning was collapsing and sick, went back to the hospital and died. And then the police said, well, this doesn't have anything to do with the trauma they suffered in this fight. And everybody goes, what are you talking about? And subsequently, the police said, well, of course, it could have something to do with the fight. We don't know yet. We haven't completed an autopsy. It's going to take weeks for results to come back. And now the U.S. Department of Education is stepping in and is going to investigate.
And there were calls also from 350 LGBTQ rights groups asking for a DOJ, Department of Justice investigation, and urging the removal of the anti-LGBTQ school superintendent, Ryan Walters.
Oh, he's a monster.
Yes.
And other students have come forward subsequently to report a lot of bullying that has taken place in this school over time.
Yes. And just to give a detail, Nex's mom called 911 on February 8th, the day after the attack, and said that his breathing was shallow and hands posturing, an involuntary movement that can indicate abnormal brain activity.
Exactly.
So, well, so you see, obviously...
And eyes rolling back in his head.
Right.
Also, wait a minute, I just had this. As we are taping right now, there's supposedly a confrontation going on down there. The Westboro Baptist Church has reared its ugly head again and picked this as an opportunity to spread their hate. So our side is coming out with umbrellas to shield their message at the demo. We'll see. We'll report next week on whether it actually happened.
By the way, I made a note of this. I mean, if you've read the polls in the last couple of weeks about the election, it's not encouraging. Some of them, many of them, have Trump leading by a few points, notably in all the swing states. But there was one encouraging statistic. 19% of voters said that they disapprove of both Biden and Trump. But among those, Biden is slightly less hated, with a spread of 7% for Biden. And the candidate less despised by double haters has won the last two elections.
And a lot of the Republican primary voters in exit polls are saying they will not vote for Trump, and some of them will vote for Biden, and it may be enough.
Okay.
All right. Now we have some tragic stories of people we've lost or been violently attacked in Los Angeles. A black teenager viciously beaten by a gang, saying racist and homophobic slurs as they beat him.
The family is thinking they got to move out of the state or certainly get away from the area to get away from this gang. This took place March 9th. It took place a couple of weeks ago, but they're going to have a rally against L.A. for hate versus hate Saturday, March 9th at 10 a.m. at Dockweiler Beach, where this took place.
Yes.
This young man's name is
Donta. Yes, we just showed him in his hospital bed.
And then in New York City, police arrested Milton Hamlin, 46, who slashed a man on the subway while shouting anti-gay slurs on March the 1st. Now, this was a 27-year-old guy sitting there with his husband. He suffered very deep wounds to his hand. He's being the perpetrator, or the alleged perpetrator, is being charged with assault as a hate crime.
And in Pennsylvania at Montclair State University, a tragic suicide of Ash Clatterbuck, 22 years old, trans man. This happened right after the next Benedict death, and
yes.
I think people are assuming
now,
some.
I'm trying to understand this. Didn't this vigil take place in Lancaster, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
And, yes. This guy was described as a sharp writer, tireless activist who touched many lives, but he couldn't save his own. 22 years old, was studying journalism and poli-sci. His parents joined the vigil in Lancaster.
And in New York City, a very well-known and beloved member of the lesbian community known as DJ Stacy, Anastasia Ledwith, 57 years old, was there. She is DJing. Killed on her motor scooter late one night, coming back from a gig, tried to get around a truck, collision, dead.
She'd been doing the scootering for 15 years. She is survived by her wife, Valerie Perez.
Very famous. There they are together. And they were famous on Cherry Grove on Fire Island for all the events that they did. Valerie, very involved in organizing events. They did a lot of charity events. but just, you know, local famous people in the community, and a tragedy accident one night and gone.
One more crime story. Police arrested in Miami a 34-year-old man for armed kidnapping and extortion after he held a trans woman at gunpoint after a sexual encounter where he became upset after learning that the woman was transgender. It's a terrible story, but at least they are bringing charges.
And now for something completely different. Whales.
Okay. Not the country.
No.
Those big mammals.
The behemoths.
Well, you know, all the religious nuts say that homosexual behavior is contra natura, against nature. But we have, this is the first scientifically documented male-to-male sex between two humpback whales off the coast of Hawaii.
You should excuse the expression.
Well, there you are. It's a lot of puns are going on.
Yeah.
An image of the 2-meter penis entering another leaves little room for discussion that there is sexual component to this behavior, said this marine expert from the Netherlands.
Well, evidently the behavior's been observed a lot, but this is the first actual picture of it. Look, we have known for
450 species we've documented.
And that's only the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to call it unnatural
and by the way, this animal behavior was used to help overturn the sodomy laws in 2003 in the court.
Yeah. And then there was St. Pat's for All parade in Queens, New York.
I mean, I was out there. It's so much fun. This has been going on for 25 years now. This is such a testament to diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's what it's all about. There's the St. Pat's for All banner.
Well, this started because the Catholic Church in New York City would not let an LGBTQ identified contingent.
The Irish Lesbian and Gay Organization.
Into the St. Patrick's Day parade. And so Brendan started alternative
there you
parade.
There were like 8 Girl Scout troops in this thing.
Well, it truly is St. Pat's for All, and it brings out the local community.
And as you see, there was also a heavy emphasis on, you know, ceasefire in Gaza was a big theme. Irish emphasized that a lot because they were under the thumb of the English for like 700 years.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of talk about that. But and all the politicians turned out, AOC, you know, the comptroller, Tish James got a big hand. But we heard from the President of the Irish Senate, Jerry Bitterman.
I am the first openly gay speaker of the Irish Senate. One of 8 members of the Irish Oireachtas that are openly gay. 25 years ago, as a school teacher in Cork City, I could have been fired from my job. 25 years ago, men and women were not able to have full access to march in a parade in New York City, but across the world, acceptance, inclusivity was not there. Today, because of the leadership of people that we have in this podium, we live in a world that is accepting, that is multicultural, that is diverse, and that promotes love and equality for all. And the epitome of that is in Ireland. We have 3 members of our government who are gay, our Taoiseach, our Attorney General, and a member of Cabinet. Look how far we've come.
Hear, hear.
All right, and a good segue to international news.
Well, and the big news is from Ghana, where the parliament voted unanimously to worsen penalties for homosexuality and persecute LGBTQ people and our allies. Now, the penalty for gay sex is already 3 years. Now it goes to 5. But it also makes it a crime to identify as LGBTQ or as an ally and punishes anyone who provides support, advocacy, or funding for LGBTQ rights. The bill is in response to Ghana's first LGBTQ resource center in Accra, the capital, in 2021.
It's the promotion of proper human sexual rights and Ghanaian family values.
Did we show now? It's on the desk of President Nana
Akufo-Addo. He has not signed it yet, but could any minute because I think he's under a deadline. But the U.S. State Department is warning that U.S. aid could be cut if if he signs this law.
And it will deter foreign investment.
And there are protests going on at Ghanaian independence celebrations around the country.
And there's a big protest by the Ghanaian poet, Campbell Adi, and we're going to read his poem.
It's wonderful. Dear Ghana, motherland, you birthed me and my forefathers, inspired the wave of independence in Africa, yet today we moved a step backwards.
To deem my existence as illegal is to forsake yours. I wasn't conjured in a lab or created in madness. I was created in love, by love and for love. Without Ghana, I wouldn't exist. But in spite of certain Ghanaians, I will continue to exist.
Man created laws for men to change them. Oh, Ghana, please don't forget, not too long ago, the existence of people like us, too, was deemed illegal.
I understand you feel lost and confused as we move through a world that confines our people, but by turning on ourselves, they are winning. By deeming the existence of black-on-black love, human-on-human love, an illegal offense, they are laughing at us.
If it's God whom you are speaking for, then let him judge me. But us humans have no right to judge another. Am I paining you by existing?
Yes, I am. Why?
Because I and my kin yearn to live free. We embody freedom every day. We choose to just simply exist. And this pains you because you too wish to be free, free from the residual oppression from our forefathers' past, free from troops knee-necking bull, free to reach our greatest potential. But February 28th will be the day Ghana has shown its lack of potential.
This is a human rights issue, LGBTQIA+ for now, but who's next?
Very moving.
Campbell Adi.
So keep your eye on Ghana. We're hoping the president will not sign the bill, but then, of course, the parliament can override his veto. All right.
Belarus plans its own Russian-style anti-gay propaganda law with an extra provision establishing liability for voluntarily refusing to have children.
We're dead.
Surprise, their ally Russia hasn't done that.
Well, homosexuality is legal in Belarus, but so is discrimination against LGBTQ people.
All right.
And no recognition.
And then there's the Pope.
Yeah.
The Pope convened a conference on the evolving role of men and women, according to Christian teachings. And he opened it with a condemnation of what he calls gender ideology.
It is important to have this meeting. This meeting between men and women, because today the ugliest danger is the gender ideology, which cancels differences. Cancelling out the differences means cancelling out humanity. Man and woman are always in tension, no?
That's absolutely disgusting. It's violent to say things like that. I mean, of course, the Catholic Church's gender ideology is that only people with penises can be priests, bishops, or pope. It's a very unbiblical view, as the New Testament holds, that in Christ, there is neither male nor female. You can look it up.
Meanwhile, a priest from Brazil who was studying in Jerusalem in a monastery there was indicted for molesting 5 minor boys.
Oy.
And in Australia, we told you about the gay cop who had murdered his ex and the ex's new boyfriend. And that Sydney Mardi Gras asked the cops not to march in the Mardi Gras parade. Well, there's a little amendment. They said they can march, but could march. I think it's happened, but not in uniform. The police commissioner said that the gay cop killing the ex and the boyfriend was a crime of passion, not gay hate. I have no argument with that, but I have a lot of argument with
all right.
Whatever.
Staying in Australia, there was a lesbian wedding for the first time in the UK royal family. Ellen Lascelles, 39, a great-great-granddaughter of King George V.
The blonde on the right.
Yes, who was the monarch during World War I, married Chantelle McPherson in New South Wales. Both have kids from previous relationships. Ellen is 77th in the line of succession. And this wasn't the first same-sex wedding in the family. Lord Ivar Mountbatten married a guy named James Cole in 2018.
But the first royal lesbian to marry.
Yes.
Also in the UK, the General Medical Council regulator apologized for forcing gay doctors out of their jobs in the 20th century, both during and after homosexuality was illegal.
And yet our pal Peter Tatchell, the big activist over there, was rebuffed by the conservative equalities minister, Kemi Badenoch, when he tried to set up a meeting with all the big LGBT groups. She said, I don't need to. I've had all the meetings. I'm very busy.
Well, the medical council regulator said it was shocking that investigations continued into the 1990s, and he was truly sorry. And the Wiltshire Police Force is the 11th that Peter Tatchell has gotten to apologize for their sins against gay people.
Yes. In Norway, Norway has moved to ban trans medicine for minors except in trial studies.
In Ukraine, the Orthodox Church has withdrawn a medal from a gay soldier, a medic, no less. Other soldiers are going crazy and protesting and returning their medals. The gay soldier is on the left. The patriarch is on the right.
Well, the gay guy posts and says, oh, isn't this great? The church accepts us now. They like gay people. And they said, no, we don't.
Give us back that medal.
It is a sinful ideology and the denial of the existence of God.
In Halifax, England, from April 1st to 8th, they're going to have an Ann Lister 233rd birthday festival.
Who's Ann Lister?
Gentleman Jack.
Yes, you saw the television series on HBO, I think.
With all her volumes of sex diaries that it took them hundreds of years to decipher. But Halifax, England, celebrating Ann Lister.
And they, Sally Wainwright, who wrote the Gentleman Jack series, is pictured there with Suzanne Jones, who portrayed Lister.
Sir Ann Jones.
Oh, Sir Ann. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And the statue of Ann Lister in the middle there between them.
Yep.
Qatar Airways employee Marcel Guerrero, 44 years old, has been arrested in Qatar in a grinder sting and denied his HIV medications. That's no good.
Trouble. But in Greece, same-sex marriages are already underway, and the first couple was congratulated by Prime Minister Mitsotakis.
And a court in Turks and Caicos has ordered that a married gay couple be permitted to have immigration rights, although marriage is still not legal there.
Okay. All right.
One note from the Conference on Retrovirus and Opportunistic Infections. They issued a report. DoxyPep works. Doxycycline after sex can prevent opportunistic infections like chlamydia and syphilis.
And Johns Hopkins researchers have developed a new way to personalize antiretroviral therapy to reduce the side effects, reducing the patient's chances of comorbidities like depression, chronic kidney disease, and cardiovascular issues. They evaluated a vast number of potential drug combinations to find the best one for each patient and plan to develop user-friendly software to give you optimal treatment with fewer side effects.
Bad news, condom use is down, and thus infections rising of sexually transmitted infections. And at this conference, a lot of, one session, scientists testifying, and then Frank Mugisha, our old Gay USA guest and activist from Africa.
Uganda.
Yes, scheduled to speak and talk about discrimination around the world and around HIV. Most of the audience walked out before he spoke. Oh, we don't need to listen to that. We're scientists. We just deal with
it. It's like the, lesbian giving the prayer at the Tennessee legislature.
Yeah.
All right. Entertainment news?
Yes.
Lots of lesbian news this Women's History Month.
Okay. HGTV, new show, Small Town Potential. Davina Thomasula and Kristen Lighthouser, a married couple.
It says life partner. They haven't married yet.
Renovations in the Hudson Valley. They also run a bar in Poughkeepsie called Goodnight Kenny, named after one of their fathers.
Yeah, they've been together for 4 years, but they're still trying to navigate a wedding date. All right, out lesbian Holland Taylor was a smash, playing former Texas Governor Ann Richards in Anne on Broadway years ago. Well, PBS is bringing it to great performances on Friday, March.
Oh, I think it's a long ago repeat.
Yeah, but it's
Women's History Month. They're digging up every female thing they have.
It's going to be on Friday, March 8th. That's too late for some of you to hear about this. But with PBS, you can always look at things online if you miss it.
Oscars coming up Sunday, 7 o'clock on ABC, Hulu. I just want to thank the Academy for booking Michelle Pfeiffer as a presenter. That will make me happy.
Okay.
Kate McKinnon is also presenting or doing something, and Billie Eilish will be singing her nominated song.
All right. I saw
Barbie.
A play this week off-Broadway. I was looking forward to seeing Cynthia Nixon back on stage after 7 years. Well, she's in The 7-Year Disappear by Jordan Seavey at the off-Broadway Signature Theater through March 31st. She co-stars without Taylor Trench, who was in Dear Evan Hansen, who plays her gay son and her manager. She's an artist. She's a performance artist. She also plays a range of other people. She plays like 10 different characters. But, you know, we're a long way from Nixon's Miranda on Sex and the City or Ada in Gilded Age. And while it's interesting to see her take on so many characters, male and female, gay and straight, the play hits many gay themes, but it's not an evening that really hangs together for me.
I watched the new Hannah Gadsby special on Netflix, which dropped this week, Gender Agenda. She introduces 7 LGBTQ comics of various identifications and of various entertainment value. Some are really terrific, some less so. Decide for yourself, Gender Agenda on Netflix.
And I don't know how I feel about this, but Andrew Scott is doing a Netflix reboot of Patricia Highsmith's The Talented Mr. Ripley, bowing on April 4th. It looks to be much darker than the 1990 film starring Matt Damon. In fact, it was shot in black and white.
All right. Well, we have 1 minute left, and I gave you the cut sign too soon. but we got through Super
Tuesday. We're catching our breath now.
We raced through all that.
Stop making so much news.
There used to be times, as we've often noted, when there would be lulls in the news.
We used to think we had to have a guest on the show. We couldn't fill the hour.
Now guests want to come on the show. We say, sorry.
Too much
no
news.
No time. No
There's
time.
Too much
we can't
news.
Do it.
Sorry.
And we only care about news, not feature stuff. Leave your books at home. We're just doing news.
We'll tell people that you wrote the book.
Yes. If we like it, we will tell them. And we have a few things lined up to talk about like that next week, but not this week.
We do.
So thank you. We will be back next week. Go to gayusatv.org and sign up to receive our weekly newsletter with lots of extras.
And go to HRC.org if you want to see what's going on in your state around LGBTQ rights, so hot these days.
And we will see you next week.